Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle Young
with For His Glory Ministry. Today we're teaching on the fruit, not fruits, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. First, let us tell you about our ministry, which is for His glory. That's right, for His glory, because everything we do, people, is for His glory. It helps you see the Bible through Hebrew eyes and recognize that this is a very purpose for which we have been created. In Isaiah 43, verse 7, God is a speaker. In Isaiah 43, verse 7, it says, "Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made." You've been created, people, for a purpose, for His glory. So everything we do and teach and say, our heart's desire is to do it for His glory. And our mission statement is from John 12:21, where the Greeks came to Philip looking for Jesus, and they said, "Sir,
we wish to see Jesus."
Amen. So let's see our Lord, because our purpose through that is so you can see Him more clearly, love Him more dearly, and worship Him more sincerely, in spirit and in truth. For God desires true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. Let's all turn to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 in the New Testament, the Brit Chadashah, Galatians 5, 22 and 23.
"But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law."
That's very, very important. I want Danielle to read that once more for everyone. Please pay very careful attention. Please.
"But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law."
That's very powerful. Now, we did a whole tape series on this, which you can hear about when you go to our website, and you'll get the address and all later in the show. And we'll just give it to you now to mark it down. It's www.forhisglory.org. We did a whole tape series called The Fruit of the Spirit, from which we're going to give you a condensed version of this due to a time constraint. But let's look at each of these words and see. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what is a fruit? A fruit is a seed that has matured, right? Of is genitive. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is something that is the Spirit's work in the believer. It is happening through a joint union of communion with a person and the God of the universe, who, as we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and people, if you don't know Him, you need to know Him. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. You need to first recognize that God raised Jesus from the dead. There's salvation in His name and no other. You must be saved. You should get a Bible. Churches and places will give them away for free, church organizations. And you look at Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and then the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and Acts 4, 12. And you'll see that Jesus is Lord as you believe that Jesus, you believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead. You accept that Jesus is Lord and Savior. God raised Him from the dead. There's salvation in no other. You open your heart and soul and submit yourself to His authority, His Godship, His Lordship, His Saviorship. You'll have a new birth. That's right, a new birth. The new birth is an experience that can only happen with God. You can't learn it from the outside. You can't do this without coming to God and saying, "You can't." But He can. Yours is the desire. Yours is the decision. The doing is God. And He's already done it. He's provided it for you, waiting on you to come to saving faith and have a new birth. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it will tell you that you are a new creation. You're a new species. The old has passed away. all things are new. God gives you a fresh start, and you have come into a new birth from above, and you're born of the Spirit. So the Spirit gives you birth. John 3:3, you're born from above, you're born again. They both are synonymous terms. They both are terms that are dual but complementary. You're born again, you're born from above. If you're born from above, you're born again, because you all listening to me have had a physical birth. You can't go back into mom's womb, but the next birth, or born again, means you're born from above. Okay? Now, let's proceed. What we have here in Galatians 5 is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what is the first one? Let's look at this here, Danielle. The fruit of the Spirit is
love.
All right? Love. Remember, all of these are like facets on one gem. Thank you. They're like facets on a gem. It doesn't say the fruits, right?
No, it says fruit.
Fruit. So that means that the believer has them all. But we may not necessarily see them all evidenced, because we are doing things to inhibit, to stop that display, and people being able to experience and know it, including ourselves. Let's look at it. What is the fruit of the Spirit? First characteristic is
love.
Love. Now, in Hebrew, people, the word is ahava. A-H-A-V-A. A-H-A-V-A. Ahava. The root of the word ahava is ahav. A-H-A-V. Let's all say that together.
Ahav.
Ahav. All right, one more time, everybody. Ahav.
Ahav.
Good. Now, let's see. Ahav. If I look at that word, I have to ask myself, I should, what is love? Because I need to know what this is, and then I need to know how to do it. So the word love, the root of the word, and every word in Hebrew has 70 meanings at a much deeper level, and every letter has 7 meanings. The root of this word is av. Aleph, bet, in English, av. Av means
father.
Father. Exactly. What are we doing now? We're looking at the components of the word to understand what is love. Otherwise, if I don't do that, I'm going to just tell you what love is based on what I think it is, and someone else will say what they think, and we all got 10 people in a room, we got 11 opinions. That's not going to work, all right? I don't want opinions. I want to know what my God says. Then I need to know it in the language He communicated in. Then I have clarity. I'm clear. It's concise. It's cogent. It's comprehensive. And I can then tell everybody what it is, and we can all do what we know. You know what I mean? All right. So, ahav is, again, aleph, bet, av, and there's a hey in the middle, which by position means
to reveal.
That's right. So if the hey by position is in the middle, it means
to reveal.
You got that, everybody? To
yes.
Reveal. So let's put the concepts together. And what are we doing? We're looking, like in the editor's room, at the word love, and then I can understand much deeper through the Hebrew. Remember, we're teaching you through
Hebrew
eyes. Okay, if you're just joining us, this we're teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. Your reference is Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And if you read this once before, never before, or 80 times in the last 20 years before, come and learn, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because when you find His words, like Jeremiah, thy words were found and I ate them, and thy words became for me the joy and the delight of my heart. If I'm called by your name, O Lord God of the armies. All right? God is calling us to come and taste His word, to eat it, which means to digest it, take it inside you, and you put it inside you deeply. I'm going to have Danielle read it one more time. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, starting at verse 22 and 23.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Let's focus on certain parts. Love, ahav, means the Father revealed. Now, wow, that's important. Because we are commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to love one another. How do I do that? How do I love? He says, love as I have loved you. I have to love with the Christ love. Yes.
That's exactly what He did when He was here with us.
What did He do?
He revealed the Father.
Exactly.
He who sees me sees the Father.
Right. In John 14:9, Danielle is referring to Philip asked the Lord, and it's the Last Supper, all right? And he says, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices for us. 14:9, that's right before, Jesus answered and said to him, Philip, how long have I been with you? Don't you know that he who has seen me has seen the Father? Why do you ask, show us the Father? Do you understand what Jesus is asking? He says, I have revealed, like Daniel said, I have revealed the Father, therefore I have loved you. Now put that together with me. So if Jesus says, which he has, to love one another, as I have loved you, how do I love you? I
reveal the Father.
Perfect answer. People, write this down, please. I must love, I must reveal the Father, because love equals revealing the Father. Critical point. Now, once you have that, then you can understand something else. Jesus says, by this all men will know you're my talmidim. What is that? Talmidim or disciples?
My learners.
Okay? They're learners or disciples. All right? Disciple is a learner. A learner is a disciple. It's in a plural. By this all men will know you're my disciples. You're my learners. You're my students. By how you love one another. Well, wait a minute. Don't other people love? Don't they love their kids? Don't they love their jobs? Don't they go out on great causes around the world and do things for causes they believe in? Of course they do. Would you consider that love? Without knowing the Hebrew, you might well. But God's definition of love is to reveal the Father. Are they revealing the Father? Well, there's much more to it than that. Who does and is able to reveal the Father? Matthew 11, let's turn to Matthew 11, because who's going to interpret the Bible for us?
The Bible.
Only the Bible, based on Deuteronomy 19:15, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything will be confirmed. Therefore, the Bible will witness to itself. 19:15, all right, in Deuteronomy, and now we're in Matthew 11:27. Jesus is the speaker. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal. So wait a minute. The Son reveals the Father. No one knows the Father but the
Son.
Perfect. And no one knows the Son but the
Father.
No one knows the Father but the Son, and to whom he reveals. So you cannot know the Father except through the Son. You cannot know the Son except through covenant. You can't just know about Jesus. You can't just walk around saying you're having the Christ experience or the Christ consciousness. With all due respect, that's not relational. That's a real deception, and I caution you severely, people, against that. That's not right. It's not fair. This is a marriage. And unless a covenant is going to be an agreement, a treaty, you're entering a holy covenant, a marriage here. All right? So this is what you have to understand. It's a betrothal and a marriage to follow, meaning the consummation. A betrothal is technically the first stage of the marriage. The consummation of the marriage is the second stage of the marriage. So understand that carefully. This is covenant. This is covenant, a covenant agreement. So no one can know the Father but the Son. That's covenant with the Son. Then you can know the Father and to whom he reveals. So if you are going to reveal the Father, what is the word we're studying in the fruit of the Spirit? If you just joined us in Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit is first?
Love.
Love. And love is Hebrew. The root of ahava is?
Ahav.
Ahav. And that technically means at a much deeper level.
To reveal the Father.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. To reveal the Father. And how can you reveal the Father? Only, well, how do you know the Father to reveal him? You got to have covenant with the Son. So unless you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, people, you don't know the Father or the Son. He who has the Son has the Father. If you don't have the Son, you do not know the Father. And people, make no mistake about it. Jesus knows exactly and everything about what he's talking about. So don't even begin to argue that point. All right? Period. He said it. That's it. It's settled. You don't want to stand before God and start to argue with God and say, well, I didn't believe in what Jesus said, because recognize this. God has given all judgment to the Son. The Father's given it to the Son. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son doesn't honor the Father who sent him. So when we stand one day, everybody, believer and non-believer, will stand before Jesus Christ as judge. Here's an interesting point. Did you ever have anyone ever say to you, well, all roads lead to God? You ever hear people say that? All roads, my path leads to God. I'm on my experience. You're on yours. You believe in what you believe in. I believe in what I believe in. No, it's cool. As long as you believe in something, as long as you believe in someone, all right, that's okay. Question.
I've heard every road leads to God.
Yeah, that's very common. People say all roads lead to God. You got your path. I got my path. All roads lead to Rome. First of all roads don't lead to Rome. Matter of fact, not all roads lead to my house. I'm sure about that. Because sometimes I go on some road and I'm somewhere else. I'm in somebody else's house. So all your roads don't lead to my house because I haven't seen most of you anyway. So you're not ending up at my house or at Rome. Do you think all roads lead to God? Here's my answer to you. Yes, they do. Sounds like heresy. And others of you may be going, well, he may sound okay after all. Let me tell you this. All roads do lead to God. One road, just one. Count with me. One.
One.
Stop counting. Stop. Stop counting. Right there. All roads lead to God. One road leads to God as Lord and Savior. All the other roads lead to God as Lord and Judge. So you be careful now, because every eye will see him, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Period. So you're all going to see him, whether you believe in him or not, or love him or not, or like... But he's really irresistible. You should want to know him. Just recognize what you don't want to think you're going to deal with, you'll be dealing with. Who you don't want to deal with, you'll be dealing with him. And I'll tell you, as a doctor, your knees are hinge joints. They're made to bend. So your knees will bend, willingly or unwillingly. All those knees are going to hit the ground, and they'll worship and they'll say. They will bow out of respect, period. They're going to bow and say, Jesus is Lord. Because that's exactly who he is. So to answer that question, do all roads lead to God? Yes, they do. Just matters what road you're on. And our goal here is to help you get to the road where he is Lord and Savior. We do not want you to see him and meet him as Lord and Judge without knowing him as your Savior.
Mm-hmm.
He will judge all, but where we're under his saving grace, his atoning blood, his atoning death covers our sins, and we are in a very, very safe place.
That's the road I want to be on.
Me too. That's did you all hear that? Say that again in case the dishwasher was on.
I want to be on.
Yeah, please.
And you too.
And join us, okay? And if you have questions and they're sincere and they're good, write to us. We'll pray about them and see them for future shows. We have a difficult time answering every question in the future, but we want to be fair. We'll pray about them and we'll see which ones we can help answer through the show. We don't know all the answers, people, but we know where to go for the answer, okay? And really, so do you. So please, first go to God, and then recognize he'll guide you into all the truth as long as you're serious about it. So you can't know the Son except through covenant. When you have covenant, you can know the Son. Therefore, Jesus says, by this all men will know you're my disciples by how you love one another, because no one else can reveal the Father but the Son, and no one knows the Son except those who have covenant with the Son. We can come to know him and he reveals the Father. So only one of Judeo-Christian faith by covenant with the Son of God can reveal the Father, nobody else. Period. That's the Hebrew, that's the language, that's the biblical text, that's the biblical meaning. Period. That's the biblical sense. So when we love each other, what are we supposed to do as Christians?
Reveal the Father.
Reveal the Father. So people, emotions will follow, but emotions do not define. When you love someone, you're revealing the Father in his righteousness, in his goodness, in his holiness, in his word, in his character, in his nature, in his truth, in his every aspect. So the more you know about God, the more you can reveal him. The more I reveal him, the more I am loving you. So I'm supposed to love you. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. The more I know him, the more I could love you. Because I'm revealing more of the Father. The more I love you, the more I'm revealing the Father. But for me to love you more, I got to know him more. To reveal him more. To know him more, I got to study. I got to approach him. I got to spend time with him. All people, we spend time with God, devotional time, private time, walking time, daily time. Love your God deeply. We're not going to be able to do all of these aspects, but any one we're going to do deeply and well. And the tape will have them all spelled out through the Hebrew with each one in our tape series on the fruit of the Spirit, available through our website and our ministry, which will be told to you at the end of the show later. So love God, reveal the Father, as Daniel said. When I love you more, I'm revealing him more. To reveal him more means I know him more. The more I know about him, the more I could reveal to you. The more I know about him, the more I could love you. How much am I supposed to know about him? Jesus said to love one another as I have loved you. How much of God did Jesus reveal?
All of it.
Jesus is God in the flesh. So he said, you do the same. So we need a very, very high, intricate, deep, intimate knowledge of God, to put it very mildly. God wants us to know God in the greatest way. So let's approach God in whose image you're made. Let's look at one more here. After that, Danielle, would you read that again? Galatians 5:22, the next one after love. Read the whole thing and then just one more, please.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy.
Let's do joy. What is joy, people? Now, joy is not happiness. Happiness comes from the term happen. It depends on your circumstances, all right? Joy, though, is something that does not depend on your circumstances. It depends on God, all right? And the term in Hebrew is simcha. Simcha. S-I-M-C-H-A-H. S-I-M-C-H-A-H.
Simcha.
Perfect. And the root of that is the term Shem, which we taught on an earlier series on the names of God, Hashem, the name, which you should get and study and pour over till you really own that material and become one with it and intimate with it, ladat, to know it intimately. That's what it means. Simcha, joy. What is joy? It technically means the name Shem. Then there's a chet, which means gate or fence. At a deeper understanding, also means an inner chamber. Hey at the end, by position, means what comes from. Good. Let's put those pieces together. What is joy? What comes from? The name at the gate, the name in your inner chamber, deep in your heart, people. So when you have joy, it means you know, right? The name of God is in your inner chamber.
Wow, in your heart.
Yes, in your heart.
And it's always there no matter what.
It's inescapable. Therefore, it doesn't depend on what's outside. It depends on what is inside.
I like that. That's great.
Isn't that good, people?
Yes.
You can have a joy that doesn't depend on your circumstances or on people, as good or bad as they may all be. It depends on God. And you can have it all the time, every way, every day, all day. That's available to you through the fruit of the Spirit, by an intimate relationship with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us the Holy Spirit as a pledge, as an earnest down payment on our future inheritance here. And he is perfect and he is God himself. Let's look at one more. The fruit of the Spirit is, and read one more, Danny.
Love, joy, and peace.
Peace, that's the third one. What is peace? Peace is the word shalom, all right? And technically, shalom means complete, is to make something complete, all right? To make it complete. So when you say shalom to someone, you're speaking completeness to them, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the word, letter by letter, had a much deeper meaning. Shalom, shin, lamed, vav, mem, sofit, means to destroy the teaching or authority that man has established, bringing about ultimate chaos. To destroy the teaching authority that man has established, of ultimate chaos. So really, it's like a first-line trooper going out to destroy things to establish peace. It's not a Band-Aid.
That's kind of different, peace, the way I think of it.
Yeah.
And probably most people, than that definition.
We're used to looking at the whole movie and not how to get there. This is telling you how to do peace, the way we're describing it. To destroy,
yes,
the teaching that has established ultimate disorder, to consume or destroy the authority that man has established of ultimate disorder. And on that, we have to tell you, Shalom.